This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
At hour number two, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests, join us in the Goodyear Hotline, and this is going to be a lot of fun, Bart Scott, because we've been having this conversation from the beginning of this show about, you know, sports finishes and what it feels like and what are the most compelling ones. And
I can tell you.
We saw last night, a walk-off home run. Don't stay mad.
No, I'm saying I couldn't tell you,
you
right?
Couldn't because tell me?
I never had like a walk-off, like, because I'm on defense, right?
So, but you had a defensive style. You could have a walk-off stop.
Yeah. But it's not like being the person to do it. Like, I don't know what it feels like to have a, you know, three-pointer.
Well,
that's
an
individual thing, man. I wish I had somebody I can ask, man, like what it felt like to give us perspective.
We do.
What?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Yes. Remember the crime dog?
Yes, I do.
Fred McGriff.
Ruff.
Yes. Five-time All-Star World Series champ and has had himself his share of walk-off home runs. Joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Fred, how you doing?
Good. Yeah, like you say, a walk-off home run, hey, that's the best thing going. You know what I mean? Because you hit that home run off that pitcher and you're running around the bases like, yeah, I got you, dude.
That's what I wanted to – I'm glad you said that. I felt like for, you know, buzzer beater jump shot or a goal in overtime, even a field goal, it's a quick moment. But a walk-off home run is like you're just jogging the bases like I'm going to take my time. It's my victory lap. Like is that how it feels? Like, are you thinking that, Fred, as you're going around the bases?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, they got all these scouting reports, and they're gunning every night to get you out. And so when you finally get them, you know, you just cruise around those bases, right? But see, the thing with me, I wanted to get them again. You know what I mean? So I run around the bases like I've been there, done that. And then so – they'll lay me another one in there the next time. You know, see, if you go around showboating on the bases, then that pitcher, he's getting mad. He's like, man, I ain't going to let this dude get me again. You know, so, hey, you know, you got to play games with these pitchers.
So did you ever get somebody twice? And then at what point did you just take it personal? Because I can imagine sometimes, you know, pitchers pitch you inside. Sometimes they're trying to, you know, jam you inside, all that stuff, and get you off the base. Did you ever have one that you was like, you know what, I don't care if he never throws one to me. I'm going to let him have all of this. I'm going to get my money's worth.
Hey, but remember, I was a crime dog, so I got a few of them a few times. You know
what I'm saying?
But no, it's just that challenge every day trying to get them out. So when you get the big boys, the Roger Clemens and all those guys, like, yeah, I got you. You know, Matt. So now, you know, being retired, right, so you go to some of these golf tournaments and everything, and you see those guys, right? And you know, and they know that you got them in the books, right? So they go around, how you doing, Mr. McGriff? You know, you doing good? Because they know. See, because they can't be talking noise, right? So, yeah, you struck me out, but – I got you. So the Smoltzes, they know. Okay, how you doing, Fred? No, good to see you. Yeah, all right, dude.
Are you calling out Smoltz? You won a championship with him. Fred McGriff joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. So do you – now, later in your career, it was – the wild card became a thing, obviously, and it's amazing to think the Dodgers and Giants have never met in an actual postseason game. This will be the first time we see them in the ALDS. The Yankees and Red Sox, since the wild card came in, they've met five times. So, you know, the historical matchup that we've been waiting for on the West side, we are getting it. But when you – like, did you like a one-play wild card, the play-in type situation, one and done, all or nothing kind of scenario? Or do you think that maybe the wild card should be a series like everything else is?
Yeah, it should be a series. Hopefully, this is the last year that they have this one-game playoff. It's like, man – you know, you play 162 games and you maybe have one bad game or your pitcher doesn't pitch great and you go home, you know? And so I don't think that's, you know, fair. I know, you know, hey, life ain't fair sometimes, but at least give me a 3-game series.
Mm. Yeah, so what's
at least if the
I'm sorry, what should the format be then? Should it be like basketball? If you're the team with the better record, you only have to win one. If you're the team with the worst record going in, or, you know, should you have to win two that way? Or how do you see it?
Well, I would like to see a 3-game series.
Best
that's better
three.
Than just a that's just like a one and go home. You know, you take the Cardinals and you take the Yankees, you know, they play one game and they're home for the winter. You know, they're gonna be golfing and fishing and everything now, right? And it's like I played 162 games, I played for 6 months, and then now one game, one big home run by Chris Taylor for the Dodgers, and we're going home. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. But what gets me, you know, because nowadays they give these players days off, right? During the season, know, like, dude, you're playing baseball. You should be able to go out there and play every night, right? But they're giving guys days off, right? But then they'll say, like, hey, you know, we those games in March and April and, you know, May, they're huge. So then why are you giving these guys days off? Because every game counts, because you don't want to be in this wild card game. You want to, like, hey, try to win that division or whatever so I can just have play in a series, and then I'll take my chances in a series.
It's amazing. We're talking with Fred McGriff. If you didn't know what sport we were talking about, we could be talking about any sport right now. It's just a different world. All the sports. Like, you see this in basketball. You're seeing this in other sports now where – yeah, oh, we can't play. You want us to play in three straight days? Like, we're going to need a day. Like, I bet, you know, again, guys from our generation, we can't relate to that.
Yeah. I struggle with it. You know, I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I know basketball, you're running up and down the floor and stuff like that. But with baseball, you're out there for, you know, 3-4 hours, true. But still, in between innings, you're sitting on the bench resting. And then, like, you're going out there and you're playing first base or you're playing the outfield. You make a few plays. And then, how hard is that?
I love the way he describes it. Wait. This is how he described it. Here's a game. Ready? You sit for a while. Then you stand for a while. Then you sit for a while. And once in a while, you'll make a play.
I wonder if those guys got, like, the Apple Watch and looking at how many calories they burnt.
I didn't get it by 10,000 steps.
I tell you, Fred, you played for three squads. And there is three squads that are still in the playoffs. You know, Atlanta, Tampa, and L.A. Like, who are you rooting for to win it all?
Ooh.
Well, see, I live in Tampa, so I got to pull for the Rays a little bit in the sense where, you know, they're already calling Tampa like Champa Bay, right? So now, hey, if the Rays pull this off, we're talking about the Buccaneers winning Super Bowl, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Stanley Cup. And now if the Rays pull this off, it'll be crazy.
Trifecta.
You know, they got uphill battle, but that would be hilarious because little Tampa, you know, is all of a sudden like Champa Bay.
It's amazing, right? You know, when you think about the Rays and how they go about business with their, you know, with their payroll, like is this maybe, you know, showing the other big teams that, listen, it's not about buying a championship, it's about constructing the right, you know, group of guys. I mean, they lose Snell last year and they're right back where they, you know, deserve to be without missing a step.
Yeah, but honestly, you know, guys, see the thing about it, the reason why, like, say the Rays payroll is what it is, and the Yankees, because the Yankees got more veteran players, and so now they've played 5 or 6 years, 7 years, they got long-term deals, so their payroll is going to be a lot higher. But the Rays, usually after a player play 1 or 2 years and he's starting to get good, they trade him away, so their payroll is going to be always a lot lower than a lot of other people, right? Like I tell people, like, you know, it's some young golfers out there that – they have a chance. If they play Tiger Woods, they may have a chance to beat him. Even though Tiger Woods is, I don't know, making 30, 40, whatever Tiger's making. And this young kid who he's a good player, but he just hasn't been on the tour long enough to be making that kind of money. I'm just, you know, using an example. Mm-hmm. But he can beat him. And so the Rays, even though they got young players, they're talented kids. They just haven't been in the league a lot of them to make X amount of dollars, but they're good. So it always kills me all the time when the Rays will beat the Yankees. Everybody brings up the payroll. Like, oh, man, look at this, da-da-da. But those players are good. Like I tell, like, I be laughing sometimes because I'm like, man, you know, if I was a GM or owner, right, some guy wants $400 million, I'd be like, dude, you know, forget it, dude. I'm going to go sign me this kid in the minor leagues, and I'm going to pay him the minimum $500,000, $600,000, and I'm gonna go sign 6 or 7 other guys, and I'm gonna build me a good team, and we're probably gonna beat you with this $400 million player because baseball is a team game, you know what I mean? So I laugh. Hey, and then changing the subject, what about the guy who, like, tells the team, like, hey, if you don't sign me by the end of spring training, you know, they're offering this guy $200 or $300 million, right? And they're like, if you don't sign me by the end of spring training, I'm not negotiating with you. It's like, dude, time out. What's wrong with you, man? Hey, you're trying to offer me $200 or $300 million. You can call me at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4, 5, hey, whatever you want. They're talking about, hey, don't negotiate with me.
You know what, though? When you really think about it, especially this sport, too, where it's at right now. I mean, the Dodgers are obviously a big money team, and they've got some big time players you know, big name players on that team. Obviously, you know, they had one on the mound last night in Max Scherzer. They are not afraid to spend. They're not afraid to make the big move. But I think if you're looking at the teams that are in the playoffs this year, you are looking at people that are thinking along the same lines as you are. When you look at a younger team like the Braves, when you look at a team that is seems to just go on a budget and find good young talent and figure out how to just – I mean, it's just one nameless, faceless reliever after another in Tampa. I mean, you got to admit that, Fred. I mean, that Tampa bullpen, it's like guys come out, I'm like, where are they coming from? It's just an endless parade of people that just – they use them, move on, use them, move on. But they have great success with it, and that's the argument today. How do you win in today's Major League Baseball? Is it better to do you spend and put together the super team? Well, that doesn't work for the Yankees, and even the Red Sox struggled through that as well. It used to work, but yeah, it might not anymore. What's the better way to go?
Yeah, Rays have done a good job. Rays have done a great job because, like, I was looking at their roster the other day. Their highest batting average is, like, 274 at Rose Arena. You know, that's their highest batting average.
Yeah.
But they just find a way to, every night, somebody's going to beat you. And the pitching staff, a bunch of no-name guys, they're going to go out there and they're going to get out. And I know they're trying to, you know, you have the opener and the closer and all this. And I understand it because, like, for me, like, when I see a pitcher two or three times and he's shown me all the pitches that he has, you know, come around that third and fourth at bat, you know, I'm going to be pretty zoned in on him because he showed me his out pitch and so forth. And so when they change relievers every inning and so forth, it can be a little more difficult to hit in that sense. And so that's what they've done, and it's worked, you know. But still, they haven't won a World Series, and so you got to win a World Series. You win a World Series, yeah. And now it's official.
It gives you credibility. You
know? So we'll see. Yeah, and for the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers won, like, the World Series with, you know, a 60-game schedule. So can you do it for 162 game to validate it?
All right, so give me a prediction, Fred. Who do you think is going to win it all this year? What would be your World Series matchup?
Well, I keep saying all year long you keep waiting for the Dodgers to pass the Giants, and the Giants have just hung tough and they've hung in there. So I like the Giants, and then it's just something about the Astros, man. The Astros, they got a good team. They got good pitching staff, and Dustin Baker's done a good job. And I'm going to go with the Astros. I'm going to go with Astros-Giants.
Wow.
And now the winner, I think the Giants, man. Giants got a pretty good club.
I was hoping you'd say Giants.
See, Allen's looking like he's about to pass a kidney stone right now. He absolutely despises
the
Astros. The
thought of the Astros winning a World Series for me as a Yankees fan is it's painful enough to get knocked out by the Red Sox and to know that even if you did win, you weren't going to beat the Rays because they own you. But the thought of the Astros winning a World Series, yeah, that definitely would have sent me over the top. Fred, hey, this was a lot of fun. It's great to talk to you, my man. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Fred McGriff on the Goodyear Hotline. I mean, I love the thing, what he said about that is the extra part you do get when you hit the walk-off home run. You also get that, not only victory lap, but just kind of, you know, glancing at the pitcher as he's walking off the as he's walking off the field. Yeah, go get your shine box. Yeah.
You know that I know that you know.
Yes, exactly. And then you get to see him, like he said, at golf outings, like, oh, yeah, I tagged you for a walk-off. Remember that?
Who's your daddy?
Oh, man, it's Barton Hahn coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Before we get back to your calls, this I heard was happening. J-Dub just put this on the screen. So, do you know, again, the vaccine mandate that's in New York and San Francisco, it pushed Andrew Wiggins of the Golden State Warriors to get his vaccine so he can play and not miss home games. Now in New York, the Nets are having that situation with Kyrie Irving. He can't even practice with his team because of this mandate.
Yeah.
And apparently in L.A., they have passed now the same mandate, which means the Lakers, Clippers, and L.A. Kings, hockey, all have the same rules as the Knicks, Nets, and Warriors.
So you know it's going to keep spreading. You know that, right? Because I think what's happening is they're anticipating a bad flu season. They're anticipating some bad stuff.
I think it's, again, the indoor aspect.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, right? Just imagine what we didn't have. We didn't have a big flu last year because people were still relatively
masks and staying away from each other.
Exactly. But now you have people congregating, right? Concerts, right? You got, you know, concerts, events. Now this boxing match. You're going to have a huge boxing match this Saturday on ESPN.
Right.
Right? It's going to be people in close proximity with each other. So now I think they're tightening their screws as far as what you have to do to be able to be indoors, and it's going to continue to spread. It always starts with New York and California, and then it moves differently, right? I may stop at the Mason-Dixon line, but if you're some other teams and some other markets, you better get prepared for this.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I don't know on the Lakers side of things. I know LeBron did finally come out and actually say that he did get vaccinated, but that's his choice. But now I have to see if it does affect either of those teams or actually all three of those teams. We do know it's affecting the Nets, and they are continuing to wait and see what happens there. There will be a change in the mayor's office on January 1st here in New York, and I wonder, as the Nets do have a pretty close relationship with the Democratic candidate for mayor, that if he wins, maybe something works in their favor by January. But that all, of course, remains to be seen. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hey, you want to play a little game before we get back to calls? And today with Matt Nagy?
Sure.
I think that's something we can do if I can find the mouse. So today with Matt Nagy, let's first talk about Matt Nagy now explaining his decision of why it is time to go to Justin Fields.
We've been patient with this, grown with him. We're proud of Justin. He's been a great teammate from the very beginning. And I think what needs to be understood is that from Justin's side, with the injury, the plan and the process that we had going into this was important to understand. And then when Andy unfortunately got hurt with his knee, that sped the process up.
So this was all part of the plan. And the injury is what sped up the process.
Somebody got called to the principal's office. Somebody got called to the principal's office because he was still pushing his narrative as long as a day. Like, he was pushing the same crap yesterday. Somebody said, look, man, enough. Pace.
Yeah, I think what he kept doing was saying Andy's QB1, when he's healthy, he's going to be the guy. And somebody had to have said to him, hey, stop with that narrative.
Yeah, man, you stop.
The guy got hurt.
He lost
it's his job now.
You got Wally Pipp.
And that's it. And until the kid doesn't play well, it's his job. Because it's also, Bart, this as a player. If I told you there was a linebacker, you're a young guy, the linebacker playing, like Ray Lewis, right? Ray Lewis is ahead of you, Bart. I don't care how much better you are than him right now in this point of his career.
Yeah.
It's Ray Lewis. He's our guy. Ray Lewis gets hurt. You come in and you play, and you play.
You, ball out
you start to play
like, oh,
well.
Man.
But I'm like, well, I'm sorry. It's still Ray Lewis. When he comes back, you're going to sit again. But –
guess what's going to happen?
Like,
So it's not them. It's not me, right? Because I'm like, all right, well, I'm used to getting screwed. All right, whatever.
Well, Justin Fields not used to it.
No. But all right, I'm used to getting screwed. Yeah, he did. He lost his job somewhere. Wasn't he in Georgia?
That's
right.
Point. Like, yeah. All right.
Don't worry. I'm a Mike Jones, y'all. Back then, didn't want me. Now I'm hot all on me. But what happens is, what somebody come up and say, hey,
what?
Man, you better than Ray. You should be playing. And then
Allen Robinson's been telling everybody
But that's what happens, right? So then what happens is it starts to fragment the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And as a coach, if you lose the locker room, because they're like, man, you just going with your boy. We trying to win. This guy gives us the best chance to win. And, like, we ready to rally around him and support him and do the things that we need to do for him to be successful, like run the ball, play, stifling defense and all that type of stuff. But you ain't giving us the best chance to win. We like what he brings to the table. He improves the running game, which is going to make sure that now the time of possession isn't bad. So now as a defensive player, I'm not on the field as long, so now I can be fresher. Now I'm not at risk of danger as much. So now I feel good. So let's go with the kid. I used to do it all the time. Like, I remember I just walked down the hallway. I remember one time at Matt Sims, I forgot who was starting, it wasn't good. And I'd be like, every time I said, I'm like, they screwing you, Matt. And every time Matt be walking with the quarterback, he just put his head down. Because what is he supposed to do?
Yeah, it's awkward, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what
he's supposed to say. You're right, Bart. Like, you can't.
Yeah, I know.
But you know he liked hearing it, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was important because I feel like maybe Justin Fields has won the locker room. And you know what they say in Gladiator, win the crowd, you'll win your freedom.
Well, he won the crowd. Now has he won the freedom to be that starter at number one? Of course, now he's asked about it, and he gave his answers.
Justin, did you expect to be the starting quarterback at some point in time this year for the Bears?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was my goal before the season started. So I feel like I've grown in, pretty much every area. Usually, like, when I make a mistake in a game, make it a mistake in practice, I just try to focus on those things each and every day and just get better. So I get better at every aspect of quarterbacking, from getting the ball out of my hands, from drops, timing, stuff like that. So just trying to grow in every area.
I mean, he's got to say all the right things. That's another awkward.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt.
Yeah, you still got to be in the quarterback room. You still kind of want him to help you. You know, give you that guidance from the veteran perspective, which is what he and Foles should be doing, whether they are or not.
Can I raise my hand? Can I raise my hand? If I'm Nick Foles, I mean, give me the hell out of here. I won't be around it.
But it's time, right?
For this clown show, man. Just give me somewhere where I can be QB2. Like, QB3 ain't never playing, well, man. Give me a
I know a team in New York that wears green that doesn't have a QB2. Legit one, anyway.
Yeah, let's wait till that price come down a little bit.
Is that what it is? It's just all about cost?
Wait till the money come down a little bit. All right, guarantee wait. How much? No, we ain't taking that on, no. We'll wait till week 10 where he only got like $1 million
right
left
before,
on his contract.
For the deadline?
Yeah, all right, we'll take it.
Gotcha. All right, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We got your calls. We got them. We will get to them. We promise because we love the conversation that we have with you right now on the Dr. Pepper call-in line about the best way to walk off in a game. Is it a walk-off home run? Is it a game-winning shot? Is it a goal in overtime? Is it a field goal in overtime or at the buzzer? Which is the best way that you believe it is in sports to walk off for the win? But coming up, it doesn't sound like Urban Meyer ever had any intention of resigning. Whoever thought he would? And would you ever admit that you did think about resigning in the midst of a season? Mentally, he might have in week 4. But the bigger question is he going to last the entire season? That we will discuss with you next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on ESPN Plus.
Right.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Baby, take it easy. I don't want it if it's that easy.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Goodyear Hotline. If you missed Fred McGriff, the crime dog.
I'll tear you apart.
And your friend too. Fred McGriff was great, man. We had him on earlier in the show. You can get him on the podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, just type in Barton Hahn, and then, of course, subscribe. You won't miss a thing. ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet, Bart's guy, and you have pets, if your pet passenger is injured in a car accident, get help paying vet expenses with Pet Protection. It comes free with auto collision coverage. Get a quote at progressive.com. So, we have calls to get to, and we will. We promise. But, Bart, it's 1:30, and that means, what time is it?
Audio files.
The audio file. The audio file.
It is. And, therefore, we have some audio for you to play, and this is audio more of Urban Meyer. And the Urban Meyer situation in Jacksonville. And for people to understand, this is not about a single incident. It's just about a recurring sort of questionable things that continue to stack up when it comes to him ever since he became the HC of the JAX. And he has to continue to talk about it because he had to apologize for an incident in Ohio that involved a young woman. Remember, he is married, and he was at a bar and things got a little frisky, and people, of course, caught it and put it on social media. So he had to apologize for it. There was a statement put out by Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, who, you know, clearly reprimanded him for it. And Urban continues to talk about it, which means they must be really ready to play their game this weekend, Bart Scott, right? So focused on the Titans. But instead, it's the Titans, right?
Yeah, like
play Tennessee?
It.
Good luck.
So here is now Urban Meyer talking about his status with the franchise.
I had at least three or four conversations with Shad. Messages loud and clear, and I agree with. Also met with the team on Monday individually, and then today had a very pointed conversation with them, owning a stupid mistake that I made. And that the job of a coach is to, number one, health and safety of a player. Number two is motivate him and bring out the greatness in him. And number three is give him everything possible to be successful and get him a great locker room. And then get the heck out of the way. And I apologize for distraction with a huge week coming up.
I mean, he obviously sounds like he's got that remorse sound in his voice, but it's more like, you know, he keeps calling it a stupid thing. It was stupid. 4 weeks in, and I needed a break. I need a little mental break.
Like, exactly.
I know you're 0-4, but.
Bro, you know how long this season is, man. This ain't college where you play 11 games. What the hell are you talking about?
You gotta lock it down.
I have never, in all my years of football, ever lost a game or ever won a game and the coach didn't fly back with the team. Because guess what happens when you get back? You watch the film. You tell everybody that they have to get treatment. You have to have a recovery lift. If he wanted to go fly back and give guys a day off, you fly back and then you take a private jet and you fly back the next day. How do you expect us to talk about getting better if we don't go over the mistakes that we just made the night before and watch the film? Never in all my years have I ever seen a coach or anybody not fly back after a loss after that. You just got your head beat in when you were winning the game and you made decisions in the second half and let Joe Burrow look like a hero. You mean to tell me that you wanted to give them time off, give them a break? From what? It's week four, bro. It ain't even trick-or-treat time yet. What the hell are you talking about, man? It makes no sense. You had one job, Urban Meyer. One job only. Do not embarrass us. We understand we're going to be bad, but don't make us a joke, a laughing stock. You did it when you hired the strength coach. You did it when you brought in Tim Tebow. You did it when you made the vaccination comments. You did it when you practiced us too much and we lost future practices. Now you did it because now you got Lapgate. Man, I'm tired. I need a damn bath. I need a nap. It's not even been a month of the season, and you already got five violations. You've already cost the team money from getting fined because of the practices. Then I believe you got fined because of the vaccination comments. Come on, man. You're killing me, Petey. Are you trying to get fired? Because you're doing a damn good job if you're trying to, man. Come on, man. Don't come to me, but hey, Bart, you came to practice late. Man, you ain't even come back after we lost. I don't want to hear nothing from you, dog.
Ooh, see, back up. And there's the example. What Bart just gave you right there is the example of why this is now a bigger issue. It has nothing to do with what happened. It's more about how this is stacking up, and Bart just told you what players in that locker room are thinking about their head coach, and Urban Meyer had to talk about the relationship that he still might have with his players.
It's my responsibility to earn their trust back as their leader, as a guy that I'm very close with, a bunch of them. It's always been that way with our teams and organizations. This is a player's team. It's a player's organization. Our job is to direct them, but they're the decision makers in an organization. I've all felt that way.
Do you ever feel distraught enough to consider resigning at all?
No.
Of course not. You give up your contract. But him saying, Bart, if I hear somebody say I need to gain your trust back, that suggests that you are aware that trust is lost.
The owner don't trust you.
Do players ever give trust back to a coach once he lost it?
You ain't never had my trust. Guess what, right? When a new coach comes in, especially when a new coach from college comes, like, hey, this dude come with this BS, trying to tell us when to eat, his schedule, we're building up points, and points is going to be the determining factor if you get fired or not, if you showed up, who ate all their porridge today? Like, man, nobody care about that. So we already got that going on. You bringing this college crap, and I'm a grown-ass man. I feed porridge to my kids. I don't have to eat porridge. You don't tell me what to eat. Don't tell me what time to go to sleep. I know what I need to do for my body. I'm the CEO of me. So let me tell you what's going on. We're sitting here. I don't trust you because I already am skeptical from what you've already done. And when do you earn trust? You earn trust when adversity hits in the season, like every team hits adversity. And then you have to prove that you have answers to the questions that I have about how to fix it. We've just been losing. We ain't won nothing. And you doing other stuff. And I can't even focus on if I trust you or not. Because guess what? You ain't even been able to give me no answers to the test because you too focused and we got to concentrate on the other stuff. Like when Rex came in, right? Won three in a row. Everybody was happy, feeling good. Oh, we man, this whole new Rex Ryan stuff is cool. Then we lost three in a row. Then I was like, well, how do we get out of it? Let's look at Rex. Does he change? Does he act different? Or does he have answers to try and dig us out of this hole? Can he dig us out of this hole? And guess what? He did. All the way to the AFC Championship. So, like, you haven't even got beginning in that process yet till you get a W. You'll get your head beat in by King Henry because he upset and Julio broke his tablet because they lost to the damn Jets. So good luck with that.
And how focused are you on the team when this is all everybody's talking about? That is certainly a question. And boy, I'll tell you what, that is certainly a performance to watch this weekend as one of the games of Week 5. All right, last but not least, a question. Stephon Gilmore is a good player, right, Bart Scott? I mean, we're not talking about a scrub. We're talking about a guy who's overrated. We're talking about a really good player that could help a defense like the New England Patriots. But Bill Belichick decided it was time to move on. And he now goes to Carolina to help them as they try, with Matt Rhule, try to make the playoffs. So, Bill Belichick, we just want to know. What was it about Stephon Gilmore that made you decide it was time to cut bait?
Just a quick comment on Steph. You know, I released a statement on him, and, you know, absolutely, you know, appreciate and feel strongly about the player and the person. I'm just a great kid. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, as I said, we decided to part ways. Don't have any other comment on that right now. So that is what it is. We're really focused on Houston. There have been a number of things that have gone on for a long period of time, and finally we just mutually reached the point that we reached.
BS Translator?
Yeah, BS Translators, he wouldn't do and fall in line and take a pay cut. Yeah, he just won Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago. Why the hell am I going to take a pay cut? And you brought in these bums whose resume not even as close as mine. I should be making more money than Hunter Henry. Yeah. I should be making more money than Jonnu Smith. Yeah. I should be making more money than Judon. Yeah. I should be the highest paid player on this team because guess what? We got a damn quarterback that's a rookie. So don't be telling me y'all ain't got no money in the salary cap. I was underpaid and arguing about my contract and wanting to raise. That's why y'all gave me the extension a couple years ago because y'all knew I outplayed my contract. Guys are making $20 million at corner now. I'm making like $7 million this year. Hell no. I ain't taking a pay cut for nothing. And if you might as well give me an extension. If you can't give me an extension, let me get out of here. So they say, okay, let me do this. Let's bring in Jamie Collins, a guy who's been with us for the third time, a guy that was just with Matt Patricia who paid us that money. And maybe it's two ways to skin a cat, right? I can either skin a cat by being able to have tremendous lockdown corners and it's going to prove my pass rush. Or I can get a better pass rush and it's going to make my corners better. So I bring Jamie Collins in, who's a great blitzer who can play in the middle of the box and blitz and get sacks. And he's also a guy that can play the defensive line because of his size, 6'3", like 255. He can be a rush end on the other side opposite of Judon because Chase Winovich isn't been what we thought he was going to be. We thought he was going to be a natural pass rusher. So now we can get another tool. Now he becomes expendable. We don't have to pay Collins that much money. Collins came in. He took the restructure contract. So now we can let Stephon Gilmore go. Stephon Gilmore is going to go to Carolina Panthers. Matt Rhule puts the chips all to the middle of the table.
They might be a playoff team.
No, don't say playoff. They might be a Super Bowl caliber team. Let me tell you, when McCaffrey comes back, they got two great receivers in McCaffrey. Sam Darnold's proven that he's better than Daniel Jones. He's better than Baker. Baker Mayfield. He's better than Baker Mayfield, right? So you look at that. And you company now, they have three lockdown corners. Because guess what? J.C. Horn is going to come back. Mm-hmm. He's a stud, lotto stud. They traded for C.J. Henderson.
And
he's a
front
stud.
Line's tough, too. Right, so it's not like you have a lot of time to begin with.
Reddick and Burns, right? So now you got three lockdown corners, and Jeremy Chinn's one of the best young safeties in the game. Now they can match up with anybody. You can match up with Dallas, because now I got three lockdown corners. Gilmore has always beat Cooper up, right? He's on his highlight tape. Now you can put J.C. Horn on Gallup. Now you can put C.J. Henderson on CD Lamb.
All right, let's break this down a little bit more coming up because you need to hear in the 2 o'clock hour what Bart Scott has to say about Dallas and their meeting this weekend with the Giants, because you will not believe what he is predicting is going to happen. A little early Bart Stradamus coming up for you in a little while, and then we'll get back into what he just said there in the NFC, how things have certainly changed. But for the Patriots, they have made a move where they moved somebody who wasn't so happy and brought in somebody that's probably thrilled to be back after an experience in Detroit. All right, that's Audio Files, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. Bills Chiefs Sunday AFC Championship game preview. It could be, and there's one addition you need to know about. Your call's coming up as well. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Back, Bart and Han, ESPN Plus, and Bart Scott. So we got a lot of baseball because it's playoffs. We got a lot of NFL Week 5. But, you know, we do have NBA preseason happening. And I want to show you what people are calling, and this is from last night preseason. They're already calling it the dunk of the year, and we're like two games into the preseason. Look at this. John Collins hits Sharif Cooper. Now watch this lob. A little too high.
Ah! No!
My goodness. He gets up. All right, I heard there's 10 floors in that arena. He was at the 14th floor. My goodness.
I'm so happy.
And Jared Allen, by the way.
I'm so happy he didn't face plant. Because if he landed on his stomach, he should know it too. Oh, he know it too.
He gives him the glare. Everybody's getting high fives. But, I mean, like we were talking about like the walk-off home run. Fred McGriff is telling us how you get to look at the pitcher like, yeah, I got you, right? But what do they do? When you hit a walk-off home run, the camera's on you.
Yeah.
It just stays on you, Bart Scott, around the bases. Maybe you'll show the pitcher just walking off, head down. You get that.
Yeah.
But in this moment, when you get dunked on,
it's immortalized.
Like, Jared Allen will always be in that highlight, and there's no way to get out of it. You know, always see the victim as much as you also see the dunk.
You know the NFTs? He might be a new NFT. He might be an NFT, and all you're going to say is,
look at this. Come on, man. What makes it worse
is that he has to throw, so the throw like flops.
Like his knee hit him in the cheek.
First of all, where's his boys at? Where's his boy? He's supposed to say, four! Duck! Dive too sweet! Dive!
I'll tell you what, like that's a vicious one in an NBA game. It still doesn't top, of course, our good friend Vince Carter and what he did.
Yeah.
The dunk of death. Yo. Frederick Weiss in the Olympics in 2000, which he literally jumped over a seven-footer, like scaled him and dunked. Like I still haven't seen one more vicious than that, but that was pretty close because when you knee somebody in the cheekbone
–
like, when you catch him right here with your knee, you got up pretty high.
It's good, but it's been a couple more disrespectful ones. The one that Ja tried to do on Kevin Love, like, he missed it. Kevin Love was like, I would have retired. Like, there's no way I could live that one down. But DeAndre Jordan, when he was a member of Lob City, they were playing the D-Twy Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my, I don't know who it was. I forgot who it was, but, man, when I mean, that was like yo, bro, like, I got to holler at you. Gotta holler. Everybody in this arena gotta die. Can't know it. This can't get out. Everybody that's ever seen
it. I want everybody's cameras.
Everybody. Raymond, where you going, Raymond? Nah. I'm going to my car, get my gun, kill everybody. Can't nobody get this one out. I mean, DeAndre Jordan, that was so disrespectful. Oh, man, Lob City. And he put his chest on him and he fell on the ground.
Tell you what. And you know what? The funny thing is, you remember last year, John Collins, who, by the way, just signed a 5-year, $125 million extension. So he's got some extra money in his pocket. Didn't weigh him down. He caught Embiid last year in the playoffs, you remember.
He catching bodies.
Yeah, no, he's that guy. Like, if you're late, if you're late on the switch, you better trip or tie your shoelace. Like, something happened. I pulled a hammy. I couldn't get there. Because you know you're going to be victimized. Now, Jared Allen, it's not the first time. Jared Allen played for the Nets.
He's a pass blocker. I mean, pass blocker.
Pass blocker.
He's a shot blocker, man. So, like,
you're always going to try, yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to know when to fold him, bro.
So we're two games into the preseason. We're just a couple of days, I should say, into the preseason, two for the Hawks. Yeah. And already people calling John Collins' dunk the dunk of the year. Yeah. Is that a way to start off a new season, the 75th season? Is that a way to do it? Some highlights already. In the preseason. Mutombo, that one was special.
Mutombo Jordan.
Oh, there's so many. Many in history. But that one certainly is special. When you catch a knee in
Scotty
the cheekbone.
Scotty over Ewing. Was,
did him dirty.
He hung over him a little bit.
Yeah.
But like Scotty pushed him down. He actually pushed him.
He did. Barton Hunt, Alan Hunt, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Some more NFL before we grab calls, and we got to grab calls here as quick as we can. Bills Chiefs. Now Kansas City is in last place. It's crazy to think about that division too. What's going on there, right? So if they lose this game to the Bills, the Bills could say, you got to come up to Western New York to play for the championship.
Are they talking to Kansas City or are they saying that to the Chargers?
That's a fair point.
Chargers might say, you need to come out west, holler at
me. Yeah, how about then? Someone's got to come up here to Bill's Mafia and meet us up here in the ice cold. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, so like that's how big that game is. But Josh Gordon, you have mentioned him several times. How big of an impact will he have on
Kansas City?
I just
don't know. Because guess what the Chiefs are saying? The Chiefs are saying, we're just going to outscore you. Mm. We know we can't play defense. Our defense is going to be our offense. Because guess what? They are 30th in the league in run defense. Everybody, you want a first down, everybody get a first down. Like, they can't do anything. And finally now Chris Jones doesn't look as polished or as dominant as he once was. Mm-hmm. You look at Frank Clark, he got gun charges. He got legal problems. And Tyrann Mathieu is the only one out there trying to ball.
They don't stop the run.
Yeah, they got nobody else that's effective, right? You know, they got the young kid, Bolton, who I like a lot from Missouri, but he's not enough. He's a rookie. They don't have enough weapons on the defensive side of the ball. So, like, you know, you look at what the Ravens did to him. They just ran the ball on him wherever they want to, like 230 yards rushing. Like, they had dudes that had just got there for 2 weeks, and they was putting up stats.
Yeah, we're going that way. Try to stop us, right? Like, that's literally what it is. But Josh Gordon, can he be effective? Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he's a tremendous guy. I mean, you can tell he loves playing football. He loves being here. He loves being a part of this locker room. I mean, the talent you can just see. I mean, how fast he is, how big he is, the way he's able to get in and out of cuts. I've been able to throw to him a little bit here now, kind of off to the side a little bit, and I think we'll try to do whatever we can to kind of bring him up to speed as quickly as possible and try to utilize his skill set.
I mean, he's getting chance after chance after chance.
You can't say a dude loves football if he's been kicked out the league five times. Like, come on, man.
Well, loves to play, but obviously has had a lot of issues.
Off the issues was. Like, this dude's got more chances than anybody I've ever seen in my life in football. He messed this one up. Don't even at me. Yeah. Don't even send me no stories about Josh Gordon. I would never talk about him again.
If you got a guy like Patrick Mahomes throwing to you, you make sure you stay.
Yeah, Russell Wilson. Yeah, Tom Brady. What the hell are you talking about?
Actually, he did have Tom Brady, too. All right. But Bart Scott has a pick for you for this weekend, and it's one if you're in Dallas and in New York, you need to hear. That is next. Goodbye, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.